welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So calls here at 201-939-4513, and we'll also get to your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. She is Anita Marks.
Bump.
I'm Lance Meadow.
Bum 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 bum. Are you stoked? Are you excited?
Yeah.
Monday Night Football.
Know. Oh, okay. I didn't know what exactly you were getting to there.
Did that not sound like the bum?
Well, I would say that you may have to fine tune the musical.
All right, well, give it
talent.
then bring it.
I don't need to necessarily get into it. I'm already in the zone.
Yes. Bum bum.
Yes.
Right?
Big game tonight, Giants Vikings.
A little bit more exciting than Sunday night. I don't like the new one. I don't like.
I'm not a big on the dog and pony shows.
Sunday
I just want to play football. So.
And then and then Eli just doesn't look too cool in that.
In terms of all the characters, and
you know, he's trying. He really tries. I think he really tries to be cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know the intro.
He kind of walks by Carrie Underwood, and he's like, and he looks at the camera, and he's like,
yeah. Well, you know, the whole point is for them
it's
to
like
just
a cute,
get
it's like,
mood and so forth.
It's like a cute Eli coolness, kind of, right? You feel for the guy.
Well, but that's what Eli is so talented in doing, though, when he doesn't show a lot of emotion.
It's just not looking smooth.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right.
What I'm saying. I mean, that's his M.O., so I don't think that's necessarily a surprise.
I just, when I hear that, bum, 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 yeah. I mean, it's just like goosebumps.
It gets goosebumps.
Well, yeah.
All right, everybody to each their own, in essence. But
all right.
Big game one way or the other between the Giants and the Vikings tonight. Vikings 3-0, Giants 2-1. And in terms of the NFC East, the Cowboys won, the Redskins won, and the Eagles were off. So,
how about that Dak Prescott?
Yeah, this division has changed all of a sudden within the span of the first few weeks.
So, very interesting. I mean, obviously the big talk right now is, oh, once Tony Romo is healthy, he comes back. Dak Prescott's going back to the bench. But, you know, God forbid Romo struggles when he gets back, based on what I think, not just Dallas Cowboy fans, but I think just all NFL fans have seen from Dak Prescott, if Tony Romo at all, like, pressure's going to be on the guy.
Well, I mean, I think there's going to be pressure regardless of whether you have a capable rookie in front of you or a
veteran. I think the pressure is a lot more right now, knowing that this guy has come in and helped the Dallas Cowboys win some football games and the style and the fashion, especially if you watch the way that he performed yesterday against the San Francisco 49ers in that defense. I think the pressure has probably never been more for Tony Romo if he wants to keep his job.
Well, he's protected the football. That's what's been obviously a key for Dak Prescott, as it has been for Carson Wentz. I still think they'll go back to Tony Romo, assuming he's fully healthy, because he's the more experienced veteran. And, I mean, remember, the Prescott draft pick was more for the long term. It wasn't necessarily a short-term option, because they never assumed that Tony Romo was going to suffer the back injury. They're looking at it more as a long-term, hey, this could be the successor for Romo moving forward. But if anything, Romo's maybe not back in play until after the bye come week 8 when the Cowboys are going to play the Eagles. But at least in terms of the NFC East landscape right now, it's amazing how it was a week ago we were talking about the Redskins in an 0-2 hole and where they were going to go against the Giants. They beat the Giants. They beat the Cleveland Browns. They're back to .500. The Cowboys win 3 straight after losing the opener to the Giants. The Eagles, as I mentioned, are 3-0. Now, this is a big game for the Giants in terms of staying in the mix and trying to really be in the front of the pack with respect to the NFC East and sort of staying tied with the Dallas Cowboys as opposed to falling into the basement tied up with the Washington Redskins. So, you know, the margin for error, is extremely minute right now because of what's all of a sudden flip-flopped within this division.
Yeah, and, you know, what's probably most concerning, and I know we're going to have Paul Dottino, I think, right, on the show a little bit later, and he's out there in Minnesota with the team, and we can kind of get an update in regard to what's going on with the team. Now, pretty interesting. Keep in mind, everybody traveled except Nat Burhe. Okay, everyone, even Darian Thompson, who we know for sure is not going to play. He's been walking around in a boot.
He's been ruled out, yeah.
And I think that's pretty interesting because typically the protocol in and around the NFL is you're injured, you don't travel. So you've got Rashad Jennings who traveled, still don't know if he's going to play. If he does suit up and play, you know, how much playing time is he going to get? Dominic Rogers Cromartie traveled. He's dealing with a groin injury. Game time decision, don't know if he's going to play, but he traveled. Eli Apple. We don't anticipate him to play. I know he's doubtful. We don't anticipate him to play. I find it really interesting. A lot of times it's like, okay, well, you know, Dominic Rogers, Cromartie, Rashad Jennings, Eli Apple, Darian Thompson, these guys didn't travel. We know they're not going to play. All these guys are in Minnesota. So leading into the game tonight, I think it's going to be interesting to see who's active, who's inactive, who dresses, if they dress, how much playing time will they get. But I think one of the biggest storylines heading into this game is we've been preaching all preseason, all offseason, the importance of health. This team needs to stay healthy. On paper, the Minnesota Vikings have a better team right now because of all the injuries that the Giants are dealing with. It's going to be really interesting to see, again, who's active, how much playing time do they dress, and what can they contribute? Because this is, I think you're right, I think this is the biggest challenge for the Giants so far this season. They're playing in Minnesota, very difficult place to play. They've got this nice, new, beautiful stadium, which, by the way, I think Paul had mentioned, and we can talk to him about this as well, the acoustics for the stadium.
Oh, it's extremely loud.
Well, there. It was built specifically to have the acoustics fall more so on the visiting bench than on the home bench. So it's a lot worse from what I understand than the Metrodome ever was. So there's just so many variables here that are not flowing in the direction of the Giants. This is going to be a tough game for them to win tonight.
Oh, I mean, I agree with that. The Vikings also arguably one of the best defenses in the NFL. I don't know how much the noise is really going to play a role. I mean, the Giants have been in tough environments before, and I mean, you ask any road team, it's always tough going into an opposing building, given the fan base, given the noise, and so forth. I think that's really been blown out of proportion for the most part, that storyline. I mean, Eli Manning and company, they've worked with the silent count on numerous occasions throughout the course of their tenures here. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily buy into that. In terms of the injuries, Rashad Jennings and DRC are questionable. I would say of all the players that are banged up, perhaps they're the closest to suiting up, if you were to speculate. But, you know, Eli Apple is doubtful. Darian Thompson, Nat Burhey have been ruled out. So Landon Collins is going to start alongside his third different safety this season in four games. Remember, Landon Collins started all 16 games last season. It was with Craig Dahl and Brandon Merriweather, who rotated as the other starting safety. This year already, Anita, four games, and he's going to be playing alongside the third different safety, which could be Andrew Adams, could be Leon Hall. We could see getting some reps at safety. I mean, right now that's up in the air, but, you know, that's always tough for a young player in terms of communication, and that's going to be key in this game because you're going to probably have some new faces in the secondary, and you're going to have some new faces, in the safety mix, which means in order to avoid giving up the big plays that they surrendered against the Washington Redskins, communication to me is going to be a big part of the narrative in today's game, specifically on defense.
No, absolutely. And, you know, there's certain units out there in the NFL that need to have that type of cerebral communication. And the secondary is one of them. Obviously, we know the offensive line is another. So there's going to be some intriguing matchups. I mean, with all the injuries that have taken place with the secondary, reports right now are that Janoris Jenkins, a.k.a. Jackrabbit, is going to man up on Stephon Diggs. Even though this is his second year, he's been producing. I mean, he's the number one target for Sam Bradford in that offense. But if you do limit, because I think if you do, you take Jenkins out of the defense equation, because now you're going to have him shadow Diggs. Who on this roster is talented enough to shut down Kyle Rudolph, who scored two touchdowns so far this season in the last two games? And the chemistry between him and Sam Bradford is pretty spot on. We've known that the Giants have had a tough time against tight ends before. So to me, it becomes who shuts down Kyle Rudolph and who limits the amount of damage the backfield can do in the passing attack with both Jenkins as well as Matt Asiata, who last year, Matt Asiata has not really made a lot of noise yet this season, but last year, and I know this from fantasy,
2014, when the two of them balanced the carries.
Right, he was utilizing the passing game as well. So we know that he can be a part of the passing attack from that backfield. Do they do that? Because we know the Giants, if there's one thing the Giants have done extremely well this year, is stop the run. So in order to beat them, I think you need to beat them in the pass.
Though the one exception I'll point out is Matt Jones and company were able to pound the football on that final drive for the Washington Redskins, and even Steve Spagnuolo pointed that out. You know, we've got to clean that up, because if we're in a close game late, we know we could perhaps limit the big plays based on what's happened in the first few contests, but giving up the running plays was a surprise in the last contest because they had been pretty stingy against
them. Do you think that was a matter of just being tired? at that point.
Well, the defense was on the field for a lot throughout the course of that game. There's no doubt about that. But keep in mind, Anita, the defense was on the field for a lot in that Cowboys game, too. And they did a really nice job limiting Ezekiel Elliott. So I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, a legitimate excuse to say the guys were getting worn down. I just think it was, you know, the fact that Washington did a nice job balancing what they were presenting on offense, and with Kirk Cousins being efficient, you know, he was able to keep the Giants defense on their toes. And the last thing you want to do is get Sam Bradford in rhythm so that they can start to open up opportunities for Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata. Remember, the Vikings have struggled immensely on the ground, even when Adrian Peterson was healthy. So the last thing you want to do is give them their breakout opportunity.
Yeah, I want to say the Vikings are 31st in offense in the NFL.
Yeah, they've struggled immensely. Absolutely. They have struggled on the ground. They've struggled through the air and so forth. So, you know, you take that into consideration. This is not the game that you want them to start clicking offensively when they've been doing a lot of the heavy lifting on defense. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants chat as well. We'll get to your phone calls here in a second, but we are joined right now by our very own Paul Dottino, who is in Minnesota, who will be covering tonight's game. Paul, how are we doing?
Guys, great to talk to you. I'm in the shadow of U.S. Bank Stadium, that big glass Viking ship that the teams will be playing in tonight. Beautiful day out here, but we're going to be playing inside, and that's just how it goes.
Well, in terms of the injury report, Paul, I think that's probably the best place to start, aside from obviously the noise narrative that you just alluded to. You know, it seemed as if everybody, for the most part, traveled with the team, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily indicate who's going to play and who's not going to play. DRC and Rashad Jennings, both questionable. Any idea whether or not they're leaning towards perhaps being closer to play, or are they more towards the doubtful side of things right now?
I'd be surprised, Lance, based on everything we knew during the week as to terms of their availability, if they were to play. I think you have to assume that they will not go, and that if something changes right prior to the game and they're able to get some snaps out of these guys, you have to consider it a bonus. So that means, you know, Andrew Adams, the undrafted rookie free agent out of UConn, who has been preparing to start all week, needs to think that he's going to be the guy to carry the load back there next to Landon Collins. It means that Trevin Wade and Leon Hall have to know that they may get as many as 65 to 70 snaps tonight. And it means that Michael Hunter, another undrafted guy, may just have to wind up playing some tonight. That's just the way it is. The Giants are hurting in the secondary. This is a bad matchup for them. But the good news is that the Vikings have not run the ball worth really garbage, basically only over 2 yards a carry. So if they can just deal with that run game with their front four and kind of clog things up, maybe they can do things in the back seven to make sure that Bradford doesn't get into rhythm.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the weapons that Bradford has to work with. Lance and I were just talking about how reports are that Janoris Jenkins is going to shadow Stephon Diggs. So obviously that frees things up for Kyle Rudolph, who's established some pretty good rapport and chemistry with Sam Bradford already, and he has two touchdowns the last two games. So how do you see the Giants tackling him, and also what other threats do you see in the passing game for this Vikings offense?
Well, first of all, Rudolph leads all NFL tight ends with 12 receptions for first downs, Anita. So it's not even the fact that he could be dangerous in the red zone and score a touchdown against you. He moves the chains, and that's the problem, because the Vikings haven't been able to move the chains with their running backs. They've been going to Rudolph to march the ball down the field. And as you know, the Giants have trouble doing, you know, covering the tight end. So Landon Collins, who is sporadic at best in handling tight ends one-on-one, he's probably one option. Another one would be Jonathan Casillas, you know, playing out of the nickel package. You'll see Keenan Robinson. When they go nickel, they'll go Robinson and Casillas as the two linebackers. Both of those guys have coverage skills. Kennard has shown them on occasion, but I don't think you want to put him on Rudolph. This is an issue. There's no question. That is advantage Vikings. And you look at Charles Johnson, who's the other wide receiver opposite Diggs. You know, he's a tall, rangy guy. You know, he's over 6 feet. He's got some range. Originally a Panther, but he's basically been a kind of a journeyman through his first 4 years in the league. He's not considered a real dangerous threat. But with Treadwell not getting much time so far, the rookie who, you know, so many people were so high on coming out of the draft, Johnson's been holding him off, you know, in that starting lineup. I don't know that he is much of a threat, But if you put Leon Hall out there opposite him, Hall's going to be giving up, what, 4 inches to him? That could make it an interesting matchup for the Vikings. So maybe you gotta put Wade on the outside opposite Jackrabbit, and maybe Hall winds up going into the slot. Look, Spags has a lot of chess pieces he's going to have to deal with tonight, because this could be a very dangerous deal for them.
Well, and as Anita mentioned earlier, Paul, with all of these reports that perhaps Janoris Jenkins is going to shadow Stephon Diggs, their number one target, all throughout the course of this game, you know, keep in mind when the Giants have played their previous contests, for the most part, DRC's been out of the slot, Paul, you know, as we've seen, and we've seen Trevin Wade in the slot from years past. Jenkins
yes.
has not been in the slot much, even going back to his days with the Rams. If I'm the Vikings, I mean, I'm moving Diggs around, and I'm going to try to see whether or not if Jenkins moves with me. I don't think the Vikings are going to placate, is what I'm saying, to allow the Giants to get too comfortable in terms of their corner alignments. I'm sure they're
going to
move.
Well, hold on a second now, Lance. You know, when you talk about moving receivers around, that means the guy's got to be very familiar with the X, Y, and Z spot of the playbook. He's not only got to know all the spots in the playbook, which not every receiver is good at doing. He also needs to know all the hot reads out of each one of those three positions. Now, you can sit here and tell me that in fantasy football or in Madden Xbox, you can do that. And that's easy to do when you're, you know, pushing buttons and moving joysticks around. But that's not so easy to do when you're on an NFL football field. Not every receiver knows all the calls from all the spots. I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know Diggs to be a slot guy. I know Diggs to be an outside guy. So the Vikings may not be able to do that.
Well, I mean, Diggs they have used in the slot before, going back to last year. I remember he emerged as the main guy. He was their fifth-round pick. They've actually got a great deal of production out of their draft class from 2015. I think, though, it will be interesting to determine whether or not they're going to play a chess match with Stephon Diggs, or they're going to leave him in one spot.
Think of it this way, Lance. Diggs is their best deep threat, okay? If he is their best deep threat, do they really want to waste him by putting him in the slot? Because the slot receiver's route tree is not nearly the same as the flanker's route tree. Isn't that counterproductive?
Well, a lot of the routes, though, that he and Sam Bradford have hooked up on, you know, he had that deep touchdown in the Green Bay game, Paul, but it seems as if they have actually used him in those intermediate routes from what I've seen and from what I've read over the last few games. So that's why I said I still think it's a very much of a guessing game with how they're going
to
line up Stephon
Diggs. It is a guessing game. You're right. I would think, and you could be right, maybe they will do some of that. But if you look at what the patterns have been for Bradford, only three of his 40 completions on the season have been for 20 or more yards, which basically tells you that they haven't thrown the ball long at all.
Yeah.
In fact, that's basically been absent from their passing attack, because I think they realize that the longer Bradford holds the ball, the more dangerous it is for him. And also, quite frankly, he's not very accurate when he throws the ball far downfield. He's got a 68% completion mark, which is fifth in the NFL, because they're relatively safe passes. They're not really throwing the ball very long. But if you're going to try to test the Giants' secondary, it seems to me that you would want that one threat, Diggs, to try to open them up and to try to beat them deep, if you're going to do that at all. Otherwise, he's throwing medium-range stuff all across the board.
Paul Dottino joining us. I'm sure you could recognize the voice here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul's in Minnesota. He's doing his 30-mile walk right now, I'm sure, while we have him on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul, let's focus on the defensive side of the ball for the Vikings. And a matchup that I'm really intrigued to see is the one with Ereck Flowers today going up against Griffin. Because, you know, there's still talk, there's still some concern, and whether or not Ereck Flowers is a legitimate left tackle in the NFL. And we know that the Giants are just adamant keeping him there and not moving him to right tackle. But now, I mean, this is going to be a really good test for him. I mean, to see that we know that his biggest knock is his hands and some of the technique that he uses. But I think this is his biggest, I guess, challenge all season, right? Entering his second year in the NFL.
Yeah, this is a big one. Griffin's already got 4 sacks. And from talking to some people out here in Minnesota, they're telling me that Linval Joseph is actually playing the best ball of his career.
Yeah.
And what's happening is the offensive guards are having to help out the center, which then leaves the tackles on an island solo. And Griffin has been making hay against other people in that regard. I mean, for example, last week against the Panthers, when the Vikings had 8 sacks, it was Joseph who was commanding a double team. And think about it. Their center is Khalil. He's an all-pro. And they needed to help Khalil against Linval Joseph. That tells you how great he is playing and how much trouble, then, that gives the other linemen on the line when they have to deal with those guys on the outside. So, Anita, you make a great point. Eric Flowers, in all likelihood, is going to have to man up with Griffin. That's a big issue. And when you talk about the sound, you know, you alluded to it earlier. Yeah, the acoustics in this building, it is a glass roof, okay, over two-thirds of the building. It is tilted at a 45-degree or so angle. And the acoustics were specifically designed to reflect the sound back to the visiting team's bench to give them as much trouble as they could possibly imagine to handle everything over there, whether it's the headsets on the coaches or the guys talking on the bench or the guys trying to yell instructions out from the sidelines. No, this is a problem. And if you don't believe that, think about the people who go to Seattle, because they acoustically designed that partial roof in Seattle specifically to give people problems. And that's why they call it the 12th man out there, because sound is a factor. Don't kid yourself if you don't think it is.
No, there's no doubt about it. It's a factor. But, you know, as I pointed out earlier in the program, Paul, you know, Eli Manning and company have had plenty of experience in hostile areas. They've played in Seattle, as you've mentioned. You know, Eli talked about utilizing the silent count, as did Weston Richburg. So, I mean, I just don't know in the big picture of things how much that's going to hurt the Giants' offense in the long run. That's all it comes down to.
It may not be a huge factor, Lance, but you know what? All it's got to do is screw up potentially, let's say, one key third down in a key moment of the game. And if it messes up one play, but it's a key spot, then the roof paid its dividends, right?
No doubt about it. And I'm sure the Vikings are very happy with their new settings, considering it helped them beat Green Bay in their opener when they had their home game. And now they're looking to build off of that momentum here against the Giants. Paul, before we let you go, one other entity of the Vikings, more so than maybe some of the previous teams that the Giants have gone up against, is really special teams. And if you look at what Marcus Sherrills has done and Cordarrelle Patterson, I mean, I think this is a big part of tonight's game, much more so than what the defense brings to the table for both squads. Sherrills returned the punt already for a touchdown, and Patterson is not only returning kickoffs, Paul, but they actually have him now as part of the coverage unit as a gunner, which is brand new. They never utilized him in that position.
Yeah, I agree with you 150% on this point, Lance, because quite frankly, you know, Patterson is like an all-premium pro version of what Dominic Kitchen was for the Giants some years ago and what Dwayne Harris is for the Giants now. He can hurt you in all areas of special teams, and their return game in both facets is very, very good. And you know what? Think about it. They've really come up with, or they're playing alongside, the football one-on-one formula. When you don't have a quarterback who's very dynamic, doesn't have a whole lot of deep threats, and doesn't have a great running game, what are you going to do? You're going to rely on a terrific defense that gets the turnovers, that rushes the quarterback, and special teams that's going to allow you to win that third of the game each and every Sunday. And that's how the Vikings are playing it. So if you're the Giants, what do you have to do? Well, you probably aren't going to win really, really well against that defense. I don't think you can hope for much more than a stalemate. So what are you going to do? Well, your defense has to win against their offense with a depleted secondary. That's going to be tough. Well, special teams. Now, that's one where I don't care how hard it is. The Giants have to win the special teams battle. They have to. It's just that simple. They have to win the special teams battle. Do not allow the Vikings to win that one, because if you can't shorten the field against these guys, you're going to have a big problem tonight.
And it'll also be very interesting, because if more players are now going to be thrown in starting roles on offense and defense, I'm talking about from the Giants' perspective, like in Orleans Darkwa, from Tom Quinn's lens, you know, he has to work with, I'm sure, some new personnel in different roles today, especially if they don't want to wear these guys out, Paul.
You're 100% right, Lance. That's why I think special teams here would be a huge win for the Giants. It's going to be a monumental task to do it. But if they can, it actually gives them a sporting chance to do something in this game. Remember now, I'm counting on three things that have to happen for the Giants to really steal this one tonight. They got to go plus two in turnover ratio, okay, which is going to be hard, but they're going to have to do it, I think. They're going to have to win the special teams battle, okay? And then the other thing is, I don't think you can see more than five or six penalties against the Giants, because if they start playing with 10, 11, 12 penalties like they did last week against the Redskins, it's going to be a very long night.
Paul, appreciate the time and the insight. I will speak to you later today as we continue to prepare Giants Nation for Monday Night Football.
Talk to you guys. Be good.
All right,
thank
Paul.
You, Paul.
Take care. Great insight from Paul Dottino, as I'm sure he is now preparing to circulate U.S. Bank Stadium from every different angle. I guarantee you that he probably has studied the entire building once he landed, and that he knows the ins and outs of that building. I can guarantee you that, at least.
Really quick, we're and again, 201-939-4513. That's the phone number to get in. I know we're going to get to the calls in just a hot second, but also some tweets are coming in. I realize that there's some reports out there right now that Rashad Jennings is not going to play tonight, but nothing has been confirmed from the Giants. In all honesty, I mean, I don't think we will know until the active or inactive list does come out. I will say this, though, and for fantasy football, because I'm getting a lot of fantasy football questions out there. For folks who own Rashad Jennings, maybe this week you went out and you picked up Orleans Darkwa off the waiver wire. Even if Rashad Jennings does suit up and play, I still don't think he would be a wise play in fantasy football. I really do believe Orleans Darkwa practiced this week as the starting running back in that backfield. Rashad Jennings was limited. And on top of that, keep in mind, I mean, here we are, we're talking about this unbelievable Minnesota Vikings defense. So, number one, how much success are the Giants going to have in the rushing attack? I don't know. I'm not too optimistic. Number two, I think one of the biggest concerns for me is keeping Eli Manning upright. And in order to do that, you're going to need max protect, especially out of that backfield. And so it's going to be really important that who's ever back there, A, can read the blitzes,
yeah.
Okay, which, again, I think is going to be a tall task to have Paul Perkins do because, you know, he's still a rookie. So that plays into the hands of Orleans Darkwa and also somebody who is going to be able to pass protect. That's got to be one of just as big of a concern, I think it is, for Ben McAdoo that Rashad Jennings can grip the football and not fumble it. Because let's face it, he can play with a broken thumb. Like he can play, but it's gripping that football. It's knowing that and it's the Minnesota Vikings defensive players knowing that he's got a broken hand, and you know that. I mean, they're going to come at it. They're going to come at the football. They're going to come at his hand. They're going to try to hurt him again. All of that.
It's a target, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All of that combined, I think it just plays well into the hands of Orleans Darkwa being, even if Rashad Jennings is active and suits up, being the main running back. You work in Bobby Rainey as that change of pace back in on third down, whatever the case may be. So I'm expecting a really heavy dose of Orleans Darkwa when the Giants run. But I do believe that this is a Giants team that unfortunately is going to be playing from behind tonight. And I think we're going to see a lot of three wide receiver spread, go four wide, bring in a tight end. And I see Eli Manning having to go no huddle, chuck that rock, quick, sweet, short passes, and let Odell Beckham Jr., let Sterling Shepard, let Victor Cruz get those yards after the catch. That's how I see this game playing out.
Well, however they get it done, they're going to have to stay in manageable third downs, because the last thing you want to do is play right into the hands of a defense that has 15 sacks over the first three games, and they had eight last week against the Carolina Panthers, and everybody's chipping into the pass rush. We were talking about Linval Joseph earlier. He already has three sacks. He's only had a season where four has been his career high, and he already has three. So that just puts things in perspective. Brian Robinson, their other end, I mean, they've got a lot of different weapons, and they also utilize their secondary within the blitz, too. So Giants are going to have to be aware, and the running backs are going to have to help. Even if they're not pounding the football, they're going to have absolutely help with respect to pass protection. All right, well, we want to open up the phone lines to you as well at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. And without further ado, we got Jerome in Charlotte. Jerome, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing? I've been looking at the games yesterday, and I believe if Ben McAdoo let Eli air it out, that will open up the running game and take a lot of pressure off of the run game.
Well, they go hand in hand. Look, last game, the Giants actually ran the ball very effectively on the ground. They had over 5 yards per carry, and they were also able to move the ball effectively through the air. But if you can't pound the football against a Vikings team that's been very stingy against the run, there's no crime in if you throw 5-yard passes to your running backs or you have short routes for Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz. To me, that's moving the chains just as effectively. I mean, ideally, you'd love to have balance, but also you want to make sure that you're moving the chains and keeping the Vikings defense on its toes. So however they manage to create those opportunities, I don't think you necessarily have to do it with the ground game. I mean, you can do it with short passes through the air, and the Giants certainly have the personnel to accomplish that.
Yes, I think we have one of the best receiving teams out there, but looking at the like, especially in the first quarter, the run game, it really is not producing. It's I think we should start out airing the ball out, short passes, long passes, whatever, open, and keep the penalties low. We should come out winning.
Well, they're going to have to keep the penalties low, especially after you get 11 last week. But, don't overlook the Vikings secondary. A lot of people focus in on the pass rush. The Vikings have a very good secondary. They just got Xavier Rhodes back, one of their top corners. Harrison Smith is a Pro Bowl safety.
And Waynes.
Yeah, Trey Waynes, who was their first-round pick in 15, he has 2 interceptions. There's a lot of depth in this Vikings secondary. I don't think it's, if you're looking at the Vikings defense, you say, oh, well, we may not be able to run it, but we'll be able to air it out. The Vikings don't give a lot through the air either. Aaron Rodgers had a hard time throwing it down the field. Cam barely had an opportunity to throw it down the field. So, they've done a nice job against some quality quarterbacks in the early stages of the season.
It's interesting. I mean, that's been a talk, as we know, last week. Josh Norman, will he man up on Odell Beckham Jr. this week? That's been kind of a topic of conversation. Will he man up on Odell Beckham Jr.? And folks that I've spoken to have said no. That there's going to be moments, but typically what the Minnesota Vikings do is they play three back, and they give everything short, simple, up front, and they have such great athleticism and speed that they're able to attack the football once it's in front of them. And that's the style of defense that they play. So we know how athletic the unbelievable moves that Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard can put on a lot of DBs. I think that's going to come into play later on tonight.
Well, Newman, he's definitely going to need help whoever he's guarding. So that's definitely going to leave somebody one-on-one.
Well, we'll see. I mean, as I mentioned, Jerome, and appreciate the phone call, the Vikings, this is not the type of team, there's some teams you look and you say, well, they got two good corners, and then, when they got to go to options behind the two corners, you get concerned and you think that there's favorable matchups. They have Terrence Newman, the veteran corner, with Xavier Rhodes. Then, Anita just mentioned Trey Waynes. Let's not also forget they got Captain Munnerlyn, who had a lot of years with the Carolina Panthers. He's their slot corner. There's a number of guys. They've got 4 legitimate corners who all have starting experience that they could easily throw out there. It depends on, who's on the field at once, and then their 2 safeties have experience too. As I mentioned, it's been very difficult to get big plays against the Vikings. Go back to that Green Bay game. Aaron Rodgers did not have a lot of wiggle room. He saw a lot with the pass rush. Kelvin Benjamin had no catches in that game. This is not just, a flash with one game. I think the Vikings have enough of a resume where they've done it over the first 3 weeks that they've given all types of teams, no matter their style of offense, they've given them a hard time. Now, I think the Giants, probably have the most attractive personnel on offense, more so than maybe some of the other teams they went up against, the Vikings, with the exception of the Packers. So, I mean, I think the Giants have opportunities based on the personnel that they're going to throw out there, but the fundamentals are going to be so key today, because one mistake, the Vikings will turn that into a touchdown. And we've seen that time and time again.
Yeah, and again, I know that you're not putting a lot of weight in regard to the sound noise that they're going to have to deal with later on tonight. But I think it does come into play, because we heard a number of Giants players this week who spoke to the media, and they said, we have to play mistake-free football. We cannot make a mistake against this Minnesota Vikings team. And so I think that how the decibel level and how high it's going to be, I think that's going to play a role. And I think they need to be spot on, especially on that offensive line.
Well, the Vikings, are very smart with the football. They're plus eight in turnover differential. They've only given the ball away one time. The Giants right now in comparison are minus six. So if there's any team that should be concerned about ball security of the two, it would clearly be the Giants. They've had three turnovers in each of the last two games, and on top of that, they had 11 penalties against the Redskins. So, I mean, putting the sound aside, coming off that Redskins performance, I would say, yes, the emphasis has to be cut down on the mishaps, cut down on the mental errors, because no matter who you go up against at this point, you're playing right into their hands. But the Vikings, given how well they have protected the football and how well they've taken away the football, you've got to be extra cautious in terms of your decision-making and so forth. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter as well. Anita, I know, is monitoring Twitter. We'll get to some of your tweets moving forward, but we do want to obviously give you an opportunity to chime in on the phone lines. And let's hear from Darius in the Bronx. Darius, what's happening?
How you doing, guys?
Doing well, Darius. What's happening with you?
Long-time listener, first time calling. Basically, I just want to call in and say, like, honestly, this is like the scariest game that I see coming forward, because as we know, Eli doesn't really do too good on Monday nights, and especially against the Vikings. So it's like I'm to the point where I don't even want to watch the game. But is there anything that you heard from Eli is there anything that the Vikings are doing to him specifically that gets him off his game? Because I know they gave Aaron Rodgers problems earlier this year as well.
Well, they've got a great pass rush. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And
yeah,
if you have a great
defense.
Pass rush, you know, you're going to make the job of the secondary very easy. You know, we were talking with Paul earlier. You know, Linval Joseph and Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, was asked about this earlier in the week, and he said, you know, why do you think your defense has been so opportunistic and just so consistent in the first three games? And the two guys that he threw out were the two defensive tackles. That's who he threw out, Darius. He mentioned Linval Joseph, and he mentioned Shamar Stephen, who is their other defensive tackle, who was a late-round pick 2 years ago. He was injured last season. Now he's healthy. He's been very good and effective in getting into the gaps and stopping the run, and that's created opportunities for Linval Joseph to not just worry about stopping the run but pursuing the quarterback. So if your defensive tackles are getting to the quarterback and collapsing the pocket, just think about what that's doing for Brian Robinson and Everson Griffin on the edge, and then opportunities for your linebackers to perhaps find some openings. So I think the defensive tackles, you know, that's been the X factor for the Minnesota Vikings, which means the interior play of the Giants offensive line is going to be critical today. But, you know, as far as a track record why Eli has struggled against the Vikings, and it has been well documented, 5 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. I mean, every game is different. For example, last year, Darius, you didn't have Odell Beckham, you didn't have Victor Cruz, you didn't have Sterling Shepard.
Right.
You know, they
right.
were missing a lot of offensive personnel. It was a frigid game, if you recall. The turnovers killed them. I don't know if you could point to one particular thing as to why Eli Manning has struggled statistically. You know, then again, he's also won games against the Vikings, just unfortunately it hasn't happened in Minnesota. He's 0-3 in that territory. So, you know, as long as they play fundamental football today, they're going to give themselves a chance to win this game. It's when the turnovers start to pile, you know, that's when the Vikings could run away with a game like this.
Yeah, I was saying, like, earlier, I wouldn't mind if we had all our defense, you know, ready to go. But since we're down a couple of corners and safeties, it's like now you saw what happened in the Redskins. Like, they was able to keep themselves in the game and actually won it out. So, I mean, as long as we can win the special team battle and don't turn over the ball, if the defense can hold on, we might be able to pull it out.
Well, the defense and how well it plays in terms of stopping the run in the secondary, and appreciate the phone call, Darius. Thanks so much for chiming in. I mean, that's going to be a big way for the Giants to set the tone. Can they get Sam Bradford to turn the ball over, Anita? Will they take away the run like other teams have done because the Vikings haven't been effective?
But again, the Vikings haven't been able to run the football. They're offense is ranked 31st in the NFL, and they're still 3-0.
Well, because they haven't given the ball away is what I'm saying.
Right.
And the Giants have yet to have a takeaway on defense. So is one going to all of a sudden slant the other way entering this game? Are the Giants going to become opportunistic today, and are the Vikings going to be careless with the football? Which one of those storylines will change to perhaps shift the momentum from one direction to another? I mean, that's something to at least take notice of.
It is, but how optimistic are you that that's going to happen?
Well, you can't bank on that.
Considering that there's so many injuries that they're dealing with, especially in the secondary. Keep in mind, Olivier Vernon's dealing with a wrist issue. I mean, not that he's missing any practice. He's not, but he hurt that wrist in the Dallas Cowboy game. So this is something that he's been dealing with for quite a while. I will say that JPP has a very favorable matchup on that side of the line. There's an offensive lineman, and again, I was talking to Paul my drive in today, and he had mentioned his name, and I guess he came over from Cincinnati. No bells.
Talking about Andre Smith.
There you go, Andre Smith. No bells and whistles.
Right tackle.
He came in from Cincinnati, and so this could be a very favorable matchup that benefits JPP. I mean, could JPP have that JPP game where he gets in there, he sacks Sam Bradford? It's not like Sam Bradford's the most elusive quarterback in the world. Force a fumble? Yeah, I think you need to keep an eye on JPP. If there's one defensive player that I'm putting my money on that can be a difference maker, that can make a play, based on what I heard from Paul this morning, it's JPP. Let me ask you this, though. How impressed are you that Sam Bradford was able to, like, join this Minnesota Vikings team, like, already a week into the season and learn this offense and be able to execute it so well? And, again, 31st in the NFL offensively. That's what they're ranked. But no turnovers, and they're still sitting at 3-0.
Well, Bradford's been effective in terms of getting rid of the football quickly. He's been efficient, regardless of where they statistically stand.
Right.
He's been efficient. I'm not surprised, and my answer is Pat Shurmur, who is the Vikings tight ends coach, was the Eagles offensive coordinator last season. So, I mean, that helps in terms of understanding the jargon. He's also got North Turner as his offensive coordinator, who has had a great track record with veteran quarterbacks, young quarterbacks. I think Bradford was traded to an ideal situation where he had great coaches around him who have worked with so many different types of quarterbacks that it's made the transition extremely smooth, not to mention Sean Hill, who was the starting quarterback for the Vikings when Teddy Bridgewater went down and started week one. He was with Bradford in St. Louis when they were together in the Rams. So they spent a lot of time in the classroom understanding the language and so forth. So if you look at what's around Bradford, I don't think anyone should be surprised why he's made such a smooth transition. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number.
I think it's a lot. I still think because this is, even though I get the relationships that are there, but this is Norv Turner's offense. And so I commend him. I think it's very, very difficult to make that change, go to a new team when the season's pretty much already started, and be able to execute like he has. I really do. I commend him on it.
Well, I think he deserves a lot of credit, no doubt about it. And I also think that having a defense that plays the way the Vikings do is a nice support and luxury for a quarterback who also is making the transition from one offense to another. Let's head back to the phone lines. We got, I believe, Gary in Florida. Gary, what's happening?
How you doing, Lance and Anita?
Hi.
Well, how's everything with you?
Good, good. Like the other caller said, I think the biggest thing for me tonight is a big statement game for Eli, man. And not that he needs any statement games. He's a two-time Super Bowl MVP. But I just think he takes so much criticism in the media. I mean, Undisputed with Skip Bayless and all these folks for not delivering in clutch moments as far as, like, when we go up against top-notch defense. And I think tonight is just a perfect time, Monday Night Football, for Eli to shut everybody up tonight. I just want to know how you feel about that. And I do like our matchup with our defense against their offense because it kind of washes each other. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, in terms of Eli Manning make a statement, I mean, I don't know necessarily if he's thinking from that perspective. I mean, Eli's had a number of good games. I mean, I don't know his primetime numbers off the top of my head. I do know, you know, last year, Monday night games didn't necessarily benefit too well for the Giants, but you know, every season's different, so I wouldn't read too much into that. And, you know, Eli's not the type of guy that reads the media. And he doesn't really keep track of, you know, what the newspapers are writing. So I highly doubt, you know, he's going into this game saying, I need to quiet the skeptics and I need to make a statement with respect to that regard. I don't know how much really that plays into this.
Right. And Lance, I understand that at that point. I'm just saying, do you feel like it's time for our franchise player to step up and to put this team on his back like he's done in the past and just say, hey, guys, I got you. Just follow my lead. Do you feel like tonight's that type of game for him?
Well, I mean, in terms of making plays, absolutely. But be careful when you phrase it, you know, put the team on your back. You also don't want to be forcing things and taking on that mentality
right.
that, well, I don't think I could get help from everybody around me, so now I got to go above the X's and O's, as you hear all the time. You know, when you do that, whether you're a veteran or not, you tend to get all of a sudden thrown into situations where you're more prone to making mistakes. So I don't think that that's necessarily the mindset that Eli Manning should have entering this contest. I think that, you know, they should hopefully make sure that they protect the football, run their offense, and, you know, let's see how things play out. And the defense, you hope, can change field position a little to make it easier on Eli Manning and company, as opposed to having them have to go down the field, you know, 80 to 90 yard drives against this Vikings defense. I don't care how talented your offense is, I would not want to be putting my veteran quarterback in that position where he constantly has to solve this defense for 80 to 90 yards. That's not a good position to be in.
No, I understand. I understand. But thank you for everything you guys do. I appreciate it, and I love the show. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it,
thank you.
Thanks
hey,
so much for tuning in.
Let me read some tweets here.
Yeah.
Again, hashtag Giants chat. That's how you send them in. If the Vikings are stronger without Adrian Peterson and Bridgewater, maybe others, why can't the Giants do the same? We have to win the big one. Yeah, you're absolutely – I mean, listen, this is the NFL. Look around the NFL. I mean, heck, if anybody out there plays fantasy football, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, like on one team, I lost Eric Decker, Sammy Watkins. I mean, it's just a ton of guys are going down, down, down. I mean, it is. It's the NFL, and so therefore, in order to win, yeah, next man up. You got to have next man up to come in and perform. So hopefully tonight that will happen. This is from Big D. He says, Eli will have the mindset he had in the 2011 championship game against the 49ers, will not be denied MVP conversation. I'll tell you what, if Eli Manning comes out tonight and they go three wide, let's say they go four wide, heck, who knows, and he passes for over 300 yards and three touchdowns against this Vikings defense, yeah, you know what, that's pretty damn impressive.
Not many quarterbacks have been able to approach even 250 against this Vikings defense so far.
E, the chosen one, says, do you guys see us going five wide tonight to get a few quick strikes and beat the rush?
I don't see that happening. I doubt that.
I think four, maybe. Utilizing
the
tight end, whether
it's, and then I think that they'll try to utilize the running backs. I could see Bobby Rainey, you know, trying to ease the pass rush a little if they try to dump it off to him.
This is from A.J. Marshall. He says, if the Giants don't win, they're going to be in last place in the NFC East because they lost to Washington.
I mean, they'll be tied record-wise, but yeah, the tiebreaker based on the head-to-head matchup, correct, goes to Washington.
This is from Bill Norris. He says he wants to know, do you think Perkins gets carries? If we can't run, Vikings D gets Eli sandwich for dinner. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is what's going to happen. But this is my thing with Perkins. There's no denying Perkins is the fastest running back on this roster. I mean, if you came out here and you watched camp and you watched him in training camp, I mean, he was just so impressive. He's got immense talent. Here's the thing. He's young. He wasn't here for OTAs because he went to UCLA. So he's still learning the playbook. And on top of that, he's a rookie. You're going up against a head coach in Mike Zimmer, who is arguably one of the best defensive masterminds in the NFL. And so that is a lot, in my opinion, to ask a rookie to come in and be in the backfield with Eli Manning for a team that you know is going to need as much help with pass protect to be able to read the defensive schemes that Mike Zim is going to tee up for this Giants team. I just think it's a lot. And then on top of that, we've been sitting here, we've been talking about how, well, you know, the Giants injury, like mistake-free, they have to play mistake-free football. Listen, one of the biggest knocks with rookie running backs is that they fumble the football. And that's a huge concern. Probably more of a concern it was for Tom Coughlin than it is for Ben McAdoo, I would imagine. So do I think Paul Perkins is going to suit up tonight and play? Yeah, I do. Will he get a series? Will he come in and get some playing time? I do. But, again, as I said earlier, even if Rashad Jennings suits up, I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Orleans Darkwa. Sprinkle in a little Bobby Rainey and see what happens with Rashad Jennings and Paul Perkins.
Well, even when Perkins was active last week for the first time, he mainly played special teams. And you could have made the argument, you know, maybe they could have found an opportunity for him. And they had enough between Vereen, Darkwa, and then they worked in Bobby Rainey. Even though Vereen's no longer in the picture, and let's say Jennings doesn't play, I think between Darkwa and Rainey, you have a nice mix. Remember, rhythm is important, too. You don't want to throw in three or four backs. You want to give guys an opportunity to get into rhythm. That's more of a reason why, if you work in the dynamics between Darkwa and Rainey, that makes sense. And I think pass protection limits Perkins' ability to get on the field at this point. And Mike Sullivan spoke about that when he addressed the media earlier this week. He said, you know, listen, Perkins is still catching up in terms of pass protection. direction, the reads of plays, and he was out on front and said that to the media. And normally, sometimes offensive coordinators don't want to give away who's going to play, who's not going to play, but when Mike Sullivan seemed to indicate Perkins still has some catching up to do, if you read between the lines, I would think Darquan Rainey are first up compared to perhaps the rookie running back. All right, I want to try to squeeze in a few more calls here because we are nearing the 1 p.m. Eastern hour. Unless
all right,
you got another quick
just really, really quick. A.J. Marshall, why is Leon Hall, why isn't he starting at free safety instead of Andrew Adams? They don't have faith in him. It's not that. It's that there's a chance that both Eli Apple and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie are out. If that's the case, then Wade and Leon Hall are going to have to go wide receiver slot corner. I mean, corner slot corner. So it's just it's about a number of bodies. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Hall does play a little safety tonight. I don't know.
He's got the versatility to do it, and that's
he
what
does.
The coaching staff
said. He does, but the reason we're not really talking about him more so than Andrew Adams is because I think they're expecting him and Wade to have to play corner slot corner. Last but not least, Salzer wants to know about Dante Dion.
It's on the practice squad.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. He got to be called up to the active roster. So he's right now not on the active roster. They have a few defensive backs that they brought up, such as Andrew Adams. But at this point, Dante Dion is not in the mix to be involved in the 53. He's certainly not an option tonight because they didn't make any transaction on that front. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, what's happening?
What's up, Big Lance?
How we doing, Big
Ed? Hello, the Queen Anita. Oh. How are y'all doing today?
Wow.
Doing
all right.
Hi. How's things with you?
Oh, man, good and bad. I'm having a little rough morning.
Uh-oh.
Sounds
busy.
Got a lot
of license and vehicle issues, but I'm working on it. It's going to get straight.
Are you at the DMV right now?
Sounds like it. I
sure am.
Oh,
live,
man. So what?
Maryland DMV.
Wow. What number do you have?
Huh?
What number do you have?
Oh, I haven't got my number yet. I just got here.
Oh, you don't even have your number yet?
Nah.
Well, how bad is the line?
It's not like New York.
How bad's the line, Big Ed?
Because you have hundreds of people in this line, in one line. Here, it's just like 20, 25.
That's not actually too bad.
Yeah, it's real good. It's real good.
Yeah.
Guys. Now, I'm going to bring up this one little point, and then I'll move on to the tonight's game. The one little point I'm going to bring up from last week's game with the Redskins, because I was there. I miss you guys. I miss y'all, Lance. I miss y'all. Sorry. I got there late. Y'all was already gone. That was it. But here's the thing. We had a minute and nine left. It was third, right before minute and line. It was third and long. He throws the Cruz. Cruz gets the first down. We call timeout. The first play out of timeout is a pass. We could have ran the ball. Oh, my gosh. I saw that, and I just couldn't believe it. And it was right out of a timeout. So blame the coach and blame the quarterback for that last loss. Really go some more to the coach because he should have made a better play call selection. But I understand we're going to get past it. We're going to make mistakes now. Now, this game tonight, the game tonight is about our defense. The defensive line has to be the star of the game. So long as they can protect our secondary, and the offense has to protect the defense by scoring points. They can do it. Minnesota's defense is not all that. They've just been rated good because they haven't been challenged hard.
I don't think you give
them
enough respect,
Big Ed.
That's
because y'all was talking about that early on the call, how he didn't have so the guy, a couple of calls back, the guy was talking about how Eli didn't have his weapons. He'll have his weapons tonight, so he'll win tonight. Well, all the issues that we had, it's over tonight. We'll go back to our winning ways.
All right, Big Ed. Well, listen, good luck in the DMV. Yeah. I hope that the line moves accordingly so that you're not there forever. And you get back in time to actually watch the Monday night game. That'll be
key.
That's
my Big Lance.
All right, Big Ed, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in.
Hopefully he's not there that long.
Yes, well, hopefully it does cooperate. I mean, I would not overlook the Vikings defense, as Big Ed alluded to. I don't think that it's just all of a sudden these magical statistics that are showing up. This has been a pretty consistent unit, even going back to last season. And they've certainly added some new guys to the mix, which has helped their depth. Let's head back to the lines. We got Q in East Orange. Q, what's happening?
How you guys doing?
Doing well, Q.
I wanted to talk about real fast in a nutshell about, first of all, McAdoo. I didn't like his play call in the last game. It was real, I would say, out of all the three games that he's coached. Like, the last game play calling was, I really didn't care for it too much. But most importantly, I wanted to talk about the fact that that Eli Manning has been getting, like, he's really been getting it. I mean, the media has been jumping all over you know, ODB about, you know, his sideline shenanigans, whatever. But and then people was comparing him to Terrell Owens, and I it really made me stop the, you know, gave me a call to pause. Like, hold up, Odell isn't a pariah on the sideline. He's not debating or upset because of the play calling or he wants the ball. That's just passion right there. So, I mean, and the fact that the media has been jumping all over him like that, yeah, kind of makes me, you know, kind of upset, because the person that I think this week that he should have been harping on was Eli Manning. Because, you know, I mean, I know he threw two interceptions. But, you know, if you watch the game, he threw about four or five passes that could have been picked off. And it's not even the fact that he almost threw an interception. It's the fact that he was forcing the ball to Vereen in double coverage and forcing the ball to either one of our tight ends. I mean, why are you forcing the ball to the tight ends? Like, they haven't done anything this season, anything productive in the receiving game. Like, I mean, that is our glaring weakness, right? Our tight ends are terrible this year. So I'm not trying to bash Eli, but I'm just – I kind of noticed that the media has been bashing Odell, but right, no one says anything about Eli Manning and his terrible game that he had. I mean, even though the numbers indicate that he had a kind of efficient game.
Q.
Yes.
All right, keep this in mind, okay? Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the most polarizing athletes – in the world, not just football, right? He's the most like you mention Odell Beckham Jr. ratings across, whether it's Fox, ESPN, CBS, whatever, go through the roof. Okay, so don't. This is what the media is going to do, because the storyline of Odell and having a temper tantrum on the sideline and his coach not being happy with it, and this is what his coach said, and this is how. This is how Odell responded. It gets the ratings. Okay? So you can't just sit here and say, well, that's not fair. I mean, they're network. And so they know that that's the storyline everybody wants to hear about. So you can't let it bother you.
Yeah, but my point is that, like, no, like, the fact that Eli Manning made those terrible passes.
Yeah, but again,
overlooked.
Q, you're
but
not listening to me.
Why I'm putting more emphasis on Eli Manning.
Q, you're not listening. That's not going to do anything for ratings. It's not going to do anything for ratings.
Okay,
do you understand?
I can't let it get to you.
You
know, I don't want to talk about ratings. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, that I hope Eli Manning, I'm going to put it all in a nutshell. You get to whoever the next caller you're going to get to. I'm going to put it on. I just hope Eli Manning is listening to this show. And I really wish. I mean, he's a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Everything you want to throw at his way, franchise quarterback. I get all of that. You're not going to tell me that every game that you watch Eli Manning play, it's about two or three passes that you say to yourself, "What the hell is this guy thinking?" I mean, he forces the ball to a running back. Why are you forcing a pass to a running back in double coverage? That's the only thing. That's my only gripe with Eli Manning. He does this every game. I just hope that he finally gets over that. He never throws the balls away. He never throws the ball away. What I mean, he doesn't have an excuse.
Well, Eli Manning after the game admitted that, you know, he made some bad decisions in the game. I mean, if that's what you're looking for,
he
didn't shy away from that. Say that again.
This is repetitive with Eli. This isn't nothing new.
Well, I think that's a bit hyperbole on your part. I mean, I wouldn't say every single game.
I wouldn't say that. Hold up. Every game, I've been watching the Giants for 30-something years, I just want to throw that out there. But every game, Eli Manning makes about two or three passes that you would say to yourself, "What is he? Why would you throw that pass?" And that's the thing that he has with him. You guys don't admit it. I'm going to admit it. I love Eli Manning. I love the Giants. I'm not going to ignore that.
Well, but here's the thing, Q. And listen, appreciate the phone call. I want to get to a few more people before we wrap up the show. If you want to just look at it from last week's perspective, and, I mean, we could sit here and go over his career and his decision-making and whatever it may be. And I could argue that a lot of quarterbacks who I've watched, I probably could sit down and say there's 2 to 3 throws that they make on average per game that maybe you cringe and maybe you wonder what were they thinking. I don't think it's necessarily just one quarterback who suits up for the Giants. But just last week's game, the Giants, you could point the finger at a variety of different things as to why they lost that game. Eli Manning's interceptions is one, the defense giving up big plays, the turnovers, the fumbles by Vereen, the lack of continuity in terms of the offense at times and finishing drives and punching it in. I mean, to say that his decision-making, his throws was the only reason why they didn't walk away with the victory is not necessarily thinking and looking at it from a big-picture perspective, because there were also some defensive issues as well as special teams. Let's not forget the penalties, the big punt return that Crowder had. You know, this game was not just on Eli Manning. This game was on every facet of that football team. Jeff is in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
Today, listen, I don't see there's any reason why the Giants can't win this game tonight. And, you know, as long as they play smart football and kind of limit their turnovers and stupid penalties, I think they'll be fine. They can't be expected to play an error-free game. But they have to. One thing they have to do tonight is get something out of their running game. They got to get that going, because Eli's always been at his best when he's using a play option pass. And if you want to limit the linebackers for the Vikings' effectiveness, I mean, that's one really good way to do it, is using that.
I agree with you. But, you know, in fairness, Jeff, the running game was solid last week. If you look at the numbers, I mean, Darkwa and Vereen had very good yardage per carry. They each had a rushing touchdown. The balance wasn't there, perhaps, as you would like. I mean, I was looking over the numbers just now. They ran the ball 21 times, and they threw the ball 38. You know, normally you want maybe it to be a little bit closer, but the times they ran, I mean, it was effective. I have here 7 runs for 5 yards or more last week, 5 for 10 yards or more, including a 15-yard run, a 15-yard run, a 25-yard run. They only had 2 runs for no gain or negative yardage. And if you go back to even last season, that's extremely low compared to what they were dealing with.
Yeah, that's precisely the point I'm trying to make. I mean, if they can do that tonight and not have the Vikings make them one-dimensional, that'll be a huge plus for the Giants. I mean, if the Vikings make them one-dimensional and all Eli can do is sit back there and be forced to pass, it's going to be a long night for the Giants. And that's just the way I see it. So, guys, have a good day, okay?
Thank you for the phone call.
This is not a game you want Eli Manning throwing the ball 45 times. I agree 100% with Jeff.
Yeah,
this is not the type of game.
He might have to.
Well, but still,
I'm not saying you want to. I'm saying that he might have to.
Well, it depends. I mean, I could also see this being a low-scoring game. I mean, it could be a 20-17 final. I would not be surprised if that's the final score. I mean, look at the Vikings games. They've held all 3 of their opponents under 20 points. I mean, the Carolina game was 22-10. This game could be in that department, which means it's not as if the Giants may need to go out and score 45 points to win a game like this. Now, that doesn't mean that they could get away with 10 points, but what I'm saying is it would not surprise me if this game is in the low 20s, high teens when it's all said and done. Could be that type of game.
If everybody was healthy, I would totally agree with you. If everybody, if I knew that we'd have either a Darian Thompson or a Nat Burhey, if I knew that we had either a Dominic Rogers-Cromartie or an Eli Apple, okay, even if Dominic Rogers-Cromartie suits up and play, he's still playing with a bum groin. A groin doesn't heal in a week.
Well, of course they're limited. The point I'm bringing up, Anita, is the fact that the Vikings offense is not lighting up the scoreboard. And whether or not the defense is fully healthy or not, I still don't see Sam Bradford and company putting up 5 touchdowns tonight, is what I'm saying. Now, their defense could score points. That's happened. But I wouldn't be overly concerned, regardless of the Giants' injuries, that Sam Bradford and company, like I said, are going to light up the scoreboard. They have yet to do that at all this season. And I doubt this is going to be the coming out party.
Okay.
It could be, you know, it could be a game where, yeah, they get 2 touchdowns and then the defense gets a score too. You know, they're going to be able to score points, but Sam Bradford and company have not proven that they're going to go out and they're going to consistently put together drives that end with touchdowns and so forth. I mean, they have had their limitations because they've struggled on 3rd down.
Yeah, but look, I mean, look
at there's one Achilles heel.
Look at the defense that they've played against. I mean, they started the season against the Titans.
Titans have a decent defense.
They
not
have
that bad.
Right. Packers?
Packers have been one of the best defenses against the runs this season.
And the Panthers, until yesterday, when Julio Jones and Matt Ryan took them to the shed. So, you know, they played against some pretty solid defenses. And not to say the Giants – I mean, listen, Giants went out. They spent all this money. They bring in all these guys on the defensive side of the ball. I just – again, if everybody was healthy, or at least half of the guys that I think are not going to play tonight would be healthy, then you know what? I would totally agree with you. I've got some big concerns going into this game.
Well, so do I. I mean, I'm not making it seem as if, you know, this is going to be a down-to-the-wire, neck-and-neck game. We'll see how it pans out. I'm not sold that the Vikings' offense is so dynamic that I would be overly concerned about them all of a sudden lighting up the scoreboard tonight. Let's close out the show with another phone call. Here we got Bob in New York. Bob, what's happening?
Hi there. First time, long time. I'm actually optimistic about tonight. Really, of course, we lost last week, believe it or not. I think we're going to come into this game a little bit more hungrier than if we were 3-0. I think football is a game of emotion. I think these guys are going to come out and are going to shock us. There's a lot of negativity, offensive line, injuries, stuff like that. But I just have a funny hunch. It's a gut feeling. They're going to pull it out.
Well, what makes you think about that in particular, though? Is it just the motion?
He said his gut.
No, but I'm saying, is it the emotion? No, but I'm talking about bringing it back to more of an X's and O's type of standpoint, though. Do you like any specific matchups, I guess, is what I'm asking, Bob, as opposed to just you thinking about it from an emotional standpoint?
I think I like our D-line against their O-line. I think their O-line is beat up. And I also think that we have a shot here. We haven't had any turnovers on our side of the ball, and I think that things are going to turn. It's just again, it's a gut feeling. I've seen this many, many times, and it's a game of emotion. And I just see the Giants coming out tonight and really putting on a great game. You never know what's going to happen, obviously, turnovers, injuries, stuff like that. But something just says to me, coming off a loss, national TV, Odell Beckham hasn't had a touchdown all year. I just see something happening that's going to be – we're going to wake up tomorrow morning and like, wow, I didn't see that.
All right, well – certainly appreciate the phone call there, Bob.
Bob, from your mouth to the football god's ears.
I only have one issue. I have Stephon Diggs and Blair Walsh on my fantasy team. I need them to score points tonight, too. That's a little dilemma there.
Actually, Bob, I do like Blair Walsh a lot tonight.
Good.
Yeah, I do like
him a lot.
All right, Bob. Appreciate the phone call.
See you.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, clearly the high priority for the Giants' defense. He's been by far one of the most consistent receivers, not just from a fantasy perspective, but from a reality perspective.
Fourth round,
in the
right?
Early stages.
Fifth round pick. Unbelievable.
Yeah. They actually, if you go back and look at that 2015 Vikings draft, I was looking over this during another show I did on Sirius, and I was talking with another person, and it's just amazing how much depth they've gotten out of that draft in just the span of a year, how many guys are contributing. TJ Clemmings, who is filling in at left tackle, he was part of that draft class. I mean, laundry list of guys that they've had that have already made a big impact on that team. And it's also amazing how many Vikings draft picks are still on the team. You know, first rounders that they've accumulated. That team is built through the draft. That team is not built through free agency. It's a very unique way that Rick Spielman has gone about his business. But it will be a challenge for the Giants. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, that's how, when you look around the teams that have had like success and long-term success, that's what they do. They build through the draft. They fine-tune through free agency.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. So, by the way, really quick before we end, what's the latest with Teddy Bridgewater? I mean, how's like any since you work at Sirius, I know the NFL channels over there, like how's his rehab coming along? I mean, because what a horrific injury.
So
right.
I mean, he's not that far into it where, you know, he's going hardcore. I mean, I think from the timetables I've seen, there's no guarantee he's going to be ready for the start of next season.
Right.
That's more of a reason why they made the Bradford trade. It wasn't just for this year. It's the fact that he still has 1 year left on his deal. So, you know, he's an option to be the starter next year. And if he continues to play like this, they don't have to rush Teddy Bridgewater back. But he's not anywhere near, you know, the aggressive rehab stages at this point, considering he recently just went under the knife. I think by the time you get to maybe late October, early November, he'll probably start to step things up a tad.
You know, and then, of course, then there's question marks in regard to Adrian Peterson and his contract
and
his future, and will he be there next year? I mean, just think about it. This is a Vikings team that's 3-0. We're sitting here talking about them and knowing that this is going to be a pretty big uphill battle for the Giants later on tonight. And as the tweet that I read really alluded to, imagine Teddy Bridgewater. Like, I really felt like this was going to be the year for Teddy Bridgewater. You know, going into his third year under Norv Turner, they were really going to open things up. They drafted Treadwell, who actually has not been able to contribute as of yet.
But keep in mind, though, real quickly, Trey Waynes barely played as a rookie last year, too. That's not a surprise that their first-round picks don't immediately contribute. A lot of people are making a big deal about that, but Waynes, if you look, he barely played last year.
But I guess the point I'm making is, it's just pretty unbelievable that they're sitting at 3-0 when you look at a team that I think it'd be quite frightening. What if Adrian Peterson would not have gotten injured? What if Teddy Bridgewater would not have gotten injured? I think that team would be extremely frightening coming out of the NFC.
So Monday Night Football, Giants and the Vikings. Coverage is going to be on ESPN from a television perspective. We'll have our radio pregame show start at 7 on WFAN. For those of you in the local area, it'll also be streamed on Giants.com at 7 p.m. Eastern. We appreciate all your phone calls, all of you who weighed in on Twitter as well. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the game. We'll be back up and running with Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow at noon Eastern. Have a good one.